We are joined by our attorney, our lawyer, our barrister extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. Jeff and I were talking off the air about what I chatted about in the last segment, which was the firing of Ryan Saunders and the hiring of a guy named Chris Finch off the Raptors coaching staff. He was an assistant coach. He worked with Gershon Rosas, who is the guy in charge of the Timberwolves, and they worked together in Houston. So there's a history there. But you and I, the only time in the history that I can think of Minnesota sports, certainly between 1985 and now, is it appears when the Twins fired Billy Gardner, they hired Ray Miller off the Baltimore Orioles pitching staff. He was the pitching coach, did a great job as a pitching coach, lousy job as a manager. But it's remarkably and incredibly rare. You can't come up with anything else or any other instance when a coach was fired in the midst of a season and his replacement came off another team.
No, and I honestly, Bob, until you mentioned about Ray Miller being hired mid-season, I had to go look it up. I couldn't remember. I thought he was hired before the start of the next season. I didn't realize that he was actually – that you're right. That is very rare to have – he was the Baltimore Orioles pitching coach and to be hired in the middle of a season – to be a manager on their team. That is extremely rare. But, you know, they get these opportunities, they got to take them too. So,
well, and but, it yeah, happened. When it happened, it was just an odd thing that happened at the time. And we'll see how odd this one turns out to be. You had made a comment also.
The Timberwolves is odd.
Well, yes. And you know, Glenn Taylor is, I don't think he's a bad guy or a bad owner, but he's made some bad decisions in his hiring practices, whether it's okaying someone to run the team like that David Kahn or someone to coach the team. You know, he really has whiffed on a number of key decisions. Maybe this Rosas will be the answer for him, but there's so many issues with this team that I touched on before. I won't rehash, but it's just a lot, certainly a lot going on. Also, a lot going on with Ted Cruz, which you made a good point, what he needs to do.
Yeah, I think he needs to start wearing an Andrew Cuomo mask. I think he'd get less flack for his, so he traveled to Cancun during the point where Texas is having all these power outages and gas outages and everything else. And which, you know, in his defense, what the heck is a U.S. senator going to be able to do other than, you know, virtue signaling and passing out supplies and delivering feel-good stories in the meantime. I mean, once he and John Cornyn asked the president to declare, a disaster, state of emergency or disaster in Texas, that's really all they can do. And President Biden, to his credit, did that right out of as Cruz noted, did that before the storms even hit. So, but in the meantime, Andrew Cuomo, you know, everybody's on the lighten up on him for covering up the fact that he, you know, knowingly put COVID positive people in nursing homes and killed a lot of the elderly and he understated the death count. So
no, he means he's,
which
he's
by the way, our governor put him in nursing homes too. And so
this was,
we'll see if we find out that he hid the true death count.
Well, I don't think it matters. You know what? I don't think it matters if he hid the death count. He put sick people with COVID in with our most vulnerable population. That, to me, is reprehensible, whether or not you hid the death count. It happened in New Jersey. Yeah. There are other states and a number of states in the East with Democratic governors. It was like they went off a checklist. Yo, he did it, I'll do it. Well, I don't understand how you can get away with that and then talk about how we have to protect people. Well, you put them with our most vulnerable. Right. And walls.
And shame on the Republican Senate, too, here. They could have called they should have months ago called hearings on Jan Malcolm, the health commissioner, on this issue, and they could have fired her just based on that. And they still just play this like to be the Washington Generals to the governor's Harlem Globetrotters and lose everything.
Well, there's a lot needs to change, and maybe in the next election things will begin to change because it's absolutely horrible. Now, the thing about Ted Cruz, what really he is his nemesis in Congress is certainly Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They don't get along at all. They've been sniping at each other
on
social media for a while. What she did to him, though, she went to Texas to help and raise money. That's where the optics are bad for him, because he didn't have to, while he didn't have a lot to do other than say, hey, we need help, telling the Biden administration, he could have done things. He gave away like a, I saw him handing a case of water to someone. Well, you know what? He could have been going around the state delivering water and making sure things got done. He does have some power, and I think this is going to be very difficult for him to shed from his reputation, and when he runs again for re-election, he could be in peril. Because I saw Beto was out Beto O'Rourke.
He doesn't run again. He doesn't run again in, for what, two more, 3 more years?
Well, it would be two more, most likely.
Long time for between things. Yeah. But, you know, with AOC, I mean, she's, you know, she's, I think she's a little sensitive to everything because, of course, there's been, you know, a lot of the issue has been the windmills freezing up and the solar panels covered in snow. So her Green New Deal is on trial down in Texas. So she's sort of trying to change the optics to change the narrative away from that they got into trouble with green energy down there, and that's what's causing them a problem.
I don't think it would be that hard to change the optics on it, because, or the, you know, the view of it, because they put in windmills that are not made like they are up here to withstand cold weather. You could argue that, you know, well, they don't get cold weather. Well, they can, so they should have put in the ones that could withstand weather, because it just looks terrible. It looks like the state and the things that are happening there are mismanaged. The other huge problem down there is people are getting starting an electric bill, so it's not even from this full cold snap. Some guy got his last month, his electric bill was like $600. It was $17,000 because they changed the rate of megawatts from, you know, like $50 a megawatt or to basically thousands upon thousands a megawatt. So that's something that has to be straightened out. You can't send someone a bill for $70,000 when your electric company or your inability to protect people from the cold is really what's going to wind up being on trial here. It's the fault of the grid system there, which apparently is independent and doesn't have any co-op with other states, which many states do.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
When I saw what was going on in Texas, Bob, and then I saw the story with the freezing rain in Tennessee, if you saw the video of the pickup truck that backed out of the driveway and slid sideways down the road, I'm like, you know what? Minus 27 doesn't seem so bad right now.
No, I've been looking at where can I go where it's going to be nice and warm and toasty and not have to deal with this weather? There is no place, because you get one of these, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have to bring all my snow tires with me and my plow. All right, now, there's been talk about legalizing marijuana in Minnesota now, but you, as a representative of dozens upon dozens of bars, breweries, distilleries, this is a little bothersome to you, isn't it?
No, well, it's not bothersome. I'm in favor, just to be clear, I'm in favor of legalizing recreational marijuana. This bill that's going through the House right now is not a legitimate bill. This is Ryan Winkler, the House Majority Leader, trying to undercut these marijuana parties that are on the ballot that are eating the DFL's lunch. And I told somebody last week, it's too bad that we don't have a Free the Growler party or a Cocktails to Go party eating the DFL's lunch in elections, because then maybe we could get the cap lifted so that breweries like Castle Danger and Indeed and Liftbridge could be selling growlers again. Because, you know, people go up to the North Shore and want to stop at Castle Danger and grab a growler or two, and they aren't legally allowed to do it. I mean, yeah, they have distribution in cans all over the state, but if somebody just wants to grab a growler, and a lot of some of these beer styles, you only do it in the tap room, right? They're kind of like laboratories. You don't put all your beers, it's not just your seasonal, your regular beers that are on tap at these breweries. They might do something unique, and maybe want to have a growler of it for the weekend, and you can't do it at some of these bigger breweries, and they're bigger because they make good product and people want to buy it, right?
Yeah.
So you can't, haven't got a hearing on that. Last year they on an emergency basis, we authorized bars and restaurants to sell beer and wine to go. There's a push now to get cocktails to go. That can't get it. There's getting no hearings in the House or Senate. And then also we've got sports betting. You know, we got everybody running down to Iowa to place bets, and everybody here is cowering because the tribes have the monopoly on gambling. And I'm to the point now, Bob, where I think that, you know, this state needs something like initiative and referendum like other states have, so that if our legislators can't get past special interests or partisan interests so that things, items that have popular support in a state can get on the ballot and be voted on. So we're not the last at everything.
Oh, they don't trust us to us voters to make a decision like that.
No, we're just the plebs, right? We're just the peasants. We can't do that. That's their job.
We need to show that. Now, to get a referendum, the legislature does not have to okay it. That it would become what, by petition first, or how does a referendum
correct.
Get on the ballot?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it would be brought by the people. You'd have to get signatures and get it on the ballot. But I'm to that point. Dealing with the liquor stuff, particularly. Going up against the liquor coalition every single year, I've given up with that. I've told clients, you can do everything that you want. They won't let you do here in Wisconsin. Let's go talk about relocating in Wisconsin. And I can tell you, I have one client with property under contract, and I have two looking in Wisconsin because they're just we're done
tired
with it.
Here. Well, you know what? We need to talk more about this. Maybe your law firm can start the petition, or at least get the proper wording. And I'll promote the heck out of it on the show, and we'll use social media because I know people would get behind it to get two things. Well, what you're talking about, and also legalized gambling, which maybe could help in the state. I hope it would to reduce.
The tough part is, Bob, is you got to get the legislature to approve initiative and referendum first.
Well, see, that's a huge problem then. Because they're not going to. All right. This is a vicious circle. Jeff, thanks so much. Jeff O'Brien. We will take a quick break in the BS show. Be right back.